Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. In this program, we try to answer your questions and queries you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Nakavi, who is an Islamic scholar and a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University, Qom, Iran. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Well, everybody gets so much information all day long that they lose their common sense. And we don't want that to be happening with our teenagers. What do you say, Professor?
Yes, we need, as you said, common sense is developed when you interact with the common people. When you discuss, when you interact and discuss things with others, with the personal face-to-face interaction that we have been used to for centuries, and that interaction cannot be again replaced by technology. Even today, the best type of, video conferencing you can have, but it does not give you that human touch.
Right.
You can go to Zoom, you can go to
GMeet,
whatever,
GoMeet
or whatever, but it can't be replaced for that, in brick and mortar setting that we have, sit together across the table, across the sofa set and discuss with each other. This is something which... It's a personal interaction, and our children require that. We need
right.
to interact with our children in this affectionate way, in this loving way. And it's not just communicating by using words. You can't even those human emotions, those human the way you look at your child, or the way you smile at him, and the way your body language is. You hug him or her, or you take. Clasps their hands and you talk to them.
The transmit of that energy,
that cannot be. What's this emoji
replaced.
Things? Emoji. These
emojis. Yeah.
Yeah. You send over the okay. They're good, but they're not going to replace what is
the actual emotions.
Actual thing. So basically, we need to understand that we should allow our children some time with this. You cannot stop them. You cannot avoid it. And we shouldn't be avoiding it, but we should be allowing our children to use it, to get engaged with it, to remain with it, to work with it. But setting priorities is important. You
right.
say, okay, you need to benefit. Okay, use it for your studies. Use it for even your leisure.
Research, leisure time.
Leisure time.
Yeah.
Playing games is no problem, but you try to channelize them towards games which are going to teach them
benefit them,
like something which is going to increase their vocabulary,
right?
Or it's going to teach them how to spell correctly. So
right.
there are many games nowadays which are made to develop your language skills, your
increase vocabulary.
It can help you solve your problems, mathematical issues, or even correct your grammatical mistakes. And
right.
so many things can be learned. Or you crosswords and scramble or things like that can be played. It can be played, play and learn together. So
this is a message for all those mothers who are concerned about the kids who take their mobile phones and then they keep on downloading the games, whatever they, I don't know, they kind of, mostly boys I have seen, they only fight in the those games. You're saying that it's a bit of a good replacer, like there are apps which can increase your vocabulary or the capability of mathematical
IQ,
calculations.
IQ tests, there are personality tests. You can take them to ask your children to go through them and see what type of personality you have or what type, what is your IQ. How you can groom your
personality in terms of language and other things. Well, Professor, we'll be talking more about that with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Nakawi, and we're discussing about the impacts of technology on teenage upbringing. And Professor Salman Nakawi is helping us. Yes, Professor.
So as I was saying, we need to teach them how to manage their priorities and to manage their time, benefits from it in the utmost way. They need to understand that they have goals to achieve. Those goals have to be, you know, goal setting has to be, you know, learned.
Realistic.
We need to learn. Realistic goals have to be made to achieve what we want and how to achieve them. And wherever technology is going to help us to achieve those goals, we need to make it a part of our strategy of how to achieve our goals. The way to achieve those goals can be for even time management.
Right.
Can be done through with the help of this of these
apps,
or you can your timetable, your meeting times, your sleeping time, your whatever that you can feed in your daily timetable, and you can set targets and you can set milestones, and you can use WBS, a work breakdown structure, to make a Gantt chart for yourself, and you can reach. So even for reaching those goals and setting your goals and setting tasks for yourself and for others, for your children, you can teach them and you can use them as these applications are going to help us.
Right.
So wherever they're going to take us towards our goals, we need to benefit. And that's what we need to learn and we need to teach our children.
Right. Well, Professor, while dealing with the technology, especially the digital technology and the teenagers already suffer from so many issues. They have peer pressure, they have stress, they have anxiety. They already go through so much of change in that particular age. And what role does cyberbullying play over here on teenage? What impact does it have?
So, of course, cyberbullying, if we want to understand what happens, is that when you get into an interaction with someone whom you're not supposed to get, be talking to you, you get...
There is unnecessary harassment sometimes.
Yes. So, nobody harasses you if you don't provide the opportunity.
Exactly.
So, number one, there has to be prevention. You need to teach your child to be able to prevent himself or herself from getting into such a situation. That is...
Not to get harassed there.
Yes. So, that's the number one level of, teaching that is required, prevention. And deflecting anything which may come as a harm. So you need to develop those white blood cells in the human behavior, not in the human blood, the white blood cells which are going to repel such sort of...
Exactly. Infectious kind of bullying.
Yes, such sort of behavior. Which is
going
to come.
Humiliation.
So one, you need to make yourself and your child understand or realize what type of behavior is going to end up in a, you know, difficult situation.
Right.
You need to teach them that if you get involved into a discussion or into a relationship with a stranger whom you don't know at all.
Right.
So in the beginning, there are many people who just start off with a very exciting way of interacting and communicating and open up to them, themselves to you.
Then you never know where you end up.
And you feel quite confident and you feel relaxed and you then open up with your secrets and so
exactly.
on. What happens is that the other person was looking for that
weakness,
weakness and he finds it.
Right. That's a very important point now. We'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Naqvi discussing the impact of technology on the teenage upbringing. While we were talking about cyberbullying, Professor, we said that cyberbullying in itself, like if teenagers face harassment on online or if they face humiliation or any kind of social isolation, this does affect their mental health and well-being, leading them to anxiety, stress, and sometimes even suicide. And you were telling us the ways to help that.
So we need to understand how does the bully penetrate into the armor that we should have, you know, put up to stop that happening. So he or she is looking for a weak point, and when you give that weak point, your child gives that weak point. For example, he or she shares a personal private picture, photograph of himself or herself for that stranger.
Right.
Then you know,
Never know.
You never know what happens then with that. So then it comes up. It becomes viral.
Right.
So
faces that challenge.
Tries to blackmail you.
Right.
Before setting it up as a virus and making it viral.
Right.
He or she may blackmail you or your daughter or your son that if you don't do that or do this, I will, you know, this private picture of yours, I will, you know, send it into the
blackmailing. Actually,
so it's blackmailing. It's threatening. So now, if you have a good relationship with your child. And he or she has made that mistake, he or she should be able to come to you very candidly.
You have to develop that bond,
of course,
basically.
I mean, candidly, she or he should come to you and say, look, I made this mistake and now I've done this and now this is the result. This is the consequence of what I did. Now, please help me. How can we stop this happening? Now, you need to be able to discuss that or you need to discuss the problem. You need to find solutions. For example, you can go to the criminal wing of the police, for example.
Right.
You can seek their help to somehow, because nowadays every country, every state has
that cybercrime branch.
Cybercrime branch, and you can go to them to request their. But if the child keeps it to himself or herself, and does not open up, then he or she will be continuously harassed and threatened by the person who
and
is doing
the, and suffers that mental torture.
Exactly.
That they really don't deserve. Because teenage is that age wherein you really trust upon people or you kind of feel free to be with everyone. But parents have to be teaching their children that the internet is actually a great way to get on the net. So teenagers have to be taught that. And teenagers are taught that, parents themselves need to educate themselves completely about this tech world, the positive effects, the negative effects, and how they can help out their children if they are facing some kind of cyberbullying or any kind of harassment on that platform. Thank you so much, Professor Salman Akhavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.